coexist. We've been building up to this Sunday and looking at different religions, different faiths, and how we intersect, how we can coexist. And on this multicultural weekend of World Communion Sunday, we're going to sort of bring it all together. I encourage you to find your sermon notes and your bulletin. And as we begin, I'm going to read a passage from Hebrews. And this is one of those passages. You know, people sometimes say to me, you know, Pastor Dirk, when I read the Bible, it's just confusing. Well, when I first read this passage, it's confusing. You know, some passages like, oh, I understand. Jesus went here, he did this. But other passages like, well, what's being said? So this is a really great passage, but you're going to hear it now, and you might not catch it all. And that's okay. We're going to go back and sort of boil it down in just a few moments. But here right now, Hebrews 6, 17 through 19. Just a few verses from Hebrews chapter 6. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of His purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters into the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. This is the word of the Lord. So the key passage that I've been looking at for the last 4 weeks has been Romans 12. And in the center of that is verse 18. And let's see this. It says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So you've heard this for week after week if you've been here. I want everybody to say it together because I want this to be part of your life. So let's say this together. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. To do that, really in a deep, true way, we first have to live at peace with ourselves. You've got to live at peace with yourself. You've got to have peace within you before you can truly be one who is making peace around you. We can pretend. We can act. And even if we're not fully at peace within ourselves, we can still do good. But the more we generate that peace within ourselves, the more we can share it with others. So what robs you of peace? What keeps you from having peace? I came up with a list. Didn't really take me very long. Maybe you could add something else to it. But does fear... I mean, that's almost a given. But just uncertainty, what's going to happen? Incompleteness, am I enough? Can I do it? Expectations, will they expect me to be enough? Hurts in our past, damage that's happened, scar tissue in our lives can keep us from peace. Questions, what about, what if? Wondering. Broken relationships, oh, I wish, oh, I long, oh, I regret. All these things and so much more can keep us from having peace. So if those keep us from having peace, how do we get it? What is it built upon? And I would say to truly have peace within ourselves, we need a firm foundation. That's what it's... there's got to be something to anchor to, some sort of foundation for that peace, something bigger than ourselves. And speaking of bigger than ourselves, I want to look at something really big. Ooh, static on the wall. All right, this is a picture. This really doesn't look like much, but it's from 27 years ago, Voyager 1, and that is a picture from 4 billion miles away from Earth, back at Earth. It had been this Voyager satellite had been shooting out, and right before it lost contact, ran out of batteries, it turned around and took one picture from 4 billion miles away, and that's it. So let's click on that one more time, and we'll enhance it a little bit. That little dot that you might not have even noticed, That's Earth. That's us. In a really, really big universe. Carl Sagan saw this and said, it's a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. Just a little dot in a big universe. Let's just zoom out and see the whole galaxy. You are there. It would, you know, that 4 billion miles, you'd have to do that 150 more times to get across the galaxy. The galaxy is huge, and it's one of billions of galaxies with billions of stars, and we are there. And Carl Sagan said, our planet is a lonely speck in a great enveloping cosmic dark. In our obscurity, in all this vastness, there is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves. That's not a foundation. That's not hope. That's not peace. Now, Carl Sagan went on to say, well, if that's true, then we all better be nice to each other. Well, I look around the planet and see a lot of people who say, well, if that's true, I'm going to grab as much as I can and take care of myself as best as I can. I'm going to watch out for number one, and that's it. That's the normal human response. Survival. And if this is your understanding, if this is how the world is, there's no anchor, there's no hope. A vast, endless, cold, heartless universe. Now, you might get peace by saying, well, I don't care about anything. I'm just gonna give up desires, give up hoping, or we can find a rock at the bottom of this universe. That this vast, endless universe, is there nothing more than cold darkness enveloping us? Or is there a rock, a foundation? And I would say that God is the rock of the universe. Jesus is the anchor and the tether to that rock. You must first live at peace with yourself, but that requires finding peace with God. Peace with God leads to peace with ourselves, leads to peace with others. Now, I mentioned Hebrews 6 that I started with. And I went through that passage and sort of took out sort of a lot of the extra statements of, you know, going into history and going into theological concepts, and said, I'm just going to try and boil this down to the main actions in this passage. And I came up with this. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear, he confirmed it with an oath. So God wanted to say, I want to clarify who I am and what I'm about. So I promise these things. And that's what he did to Abraham. That's what he does in Christ in communion. God did this so that we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered may be greatly encouraged. If you have run and said, I want to hold on to God, I want to have peace in God, I want to anchor at the bottom of my universe, we can be encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Not an anchor for our emotions, not an anchor for our physical body, not an anchor for our investments, an anchor for our soul. It enters into the inner sanctuary, this anchor, this line, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. That inner sanctuary, where God is, entered into that and sunk the anchor down deep so that we can have that foundation. Peace comes when your soul is anchored to the rock of the universe. And if you've found that for yourself, even if you still feel I'm being lashed around, but I've got this connection, I've got this hope, I'm trying to get that anchor more firmly sealed in there, but I've got it. Don't you want others to have it? Don't you want your family to have it? Don't you want your loved ones, your friends to have it? That is what Christianity calls us to. Is saying, hey, anchor your soul to the rock of the universe and let other people know that they can do that as well. All people should have this. That's why we say coexist as far as it depends on you. If it is possible, live at peace with everyone. Because God says, hey, I want people around the planet, no matter where they're coming from, no matter what culture, religion, background, to be able to anchor their souls into the rock of the universe. Now, we've talked about Muslims, we've talked about Buddhists, we've made reference to Jews and Hindus and atheists, but there's one group that my hunch is probably the largest group on the planet, and that is the group of nominals. Yeah, I met one today, this week. And I was like, well, I'm a Christian, but you know, I don't go to church and I've never learned the basics and I don't know, but I'm a Christian. They adopt the label, but they don't even know what it means, or they adopt the label, but it's not part of their lives. And whether it's in Christianity or Islam or Buddhism or Hinduism, there are all sorts of people, yeah, I got the label, but I don't really care. I'm not active in any way. I might not even understand it. And that's probably the largest group of these just people sort of floating along, as I talked the other week about erosion that happens with this. And quite frankly, none of the faiths call us to that. That's one thing that faiths have in common is be devout. If you're Jewish, if you're Muslim, if you're Hindu, if you're Buddhist, if you're Christian, be devout. That's a common thing of just sort of floating through isn't going to cut it. And Jesus says, you know, I want you to be more than just floating through. I want more than just a passive coexistence. When I say as far as it depends on you, well, no, not just a passive coexistence. That's not God's plan. Although it's quite trendy. I mean, how often do we hear these phrases? How often do we say these phrases? Well, let's just agree to disagree. Oh, just live and let live. To each his own. I mean, it sounds really nice, and on some levels it's a lot better than the other option that people see of let's attack, let's fight, and let's debate. But there's something else that we're called to. Not just saying, well, I'm going to passively coexist, you do your thing, I'll do my thing, and we just won't talk about it. I mean, how many people have those issues in their family? Oh yeah, we all get along, but we won't talk about that. You know, and whatever that history or action or belief is, well, let's just not talk about politics, or let's just not talk about, you know, that's passive coexistence. But God calls us to actively coexist with gentleness, with respect, with love, with humility, but with activity. He calls you to personal transformation, but yet public engagement. God calls you to anchor your soul to the rock of the universe and then actively live out your faith. I'm going to read a key passage of this actively living out your faith one more time. It's something you've heard before. Romans 12, 9 through 21. Hear it again of how do you actively live out this peaceful coexistence. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Active, 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 active. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends. There's action we're not supposed to do. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We are called not to passive, but to active love. The love of the Bible is active. We view nowadays, often we view love as this emotion thing. I always think it's interesting. Growing up, my mom didn't like when I used the word love too much. Because, oh, I just love pizza. And she's like, no, pizza's not something you should love. You know, because love is an active thing. But I actively love pizza. No, that this love, biblical, godly love, is wanting the best for another person. Striving for the best for another person. And it's active. It's not emotion. Yeah, there's emotion in it. There's eroticism in it. There's friendship in it. But it's more than anything a sacrificial love of action. And in this, we hear about it, of how to live that out in Romans there. But also we turn to Jesus. And when he says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, that's in love. When he says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, sharing what we found in Christ, that's an active love. To actively coexist with people on a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark. A lot of people are living just in that little moat, suspended in a sunbeam, saying there's nothing out there, nothing to anchor my life to. This drum we bought in Niger in February, visiting our missionaries there. And in that time, we got to meet with leaders of the church in a country that's 98% Muslim. Every single leader had converted from Islam to Christianity. And one of them, their testimony was so powerful because, like, I didn't have security. I didn't know, did God love me? Would I be saved? I just didn't have it. And then I found in Christianity, he didn't say these words, but he had an anchor for his soul. He found that security, that truth. That, as I mentioned, this tie and this vest, they're from Northeast India. And we heard of pastors who had been Hindus and had converted and become Christian. And they're like, you know, I went to the shrines and I made offering after offering after offering, and yet nothing happened. And then I heard about Christ and God, and I prayed, and I saw transformation. I saw people healed. I saw lives and relationships restored. They all of a sudden found power that wasn't there before. Now, while I just continue through my wardrobe, this shirt is actually from Thailand. It's the only place that makes shirts with sleeves long enough for my arms. All right? And again, there, you know, there are these amazing gold gilded temples with, you know, the jade Buddha that's traveled all over that area as people have tried to have that particular statue. But there's no personal hope that they're finding. I've been to Japan. It's become, you know, yes, it's Shinto, but it's basically secular. And yet, there's no hope. There's no anchor for the soul. Science and religion, you dig and you dig and you dig, and yet there's still something beyond it that isn't satisfied. So we have this multicultural world. And I know that one of the things against going and sharing about Jesus, going and being missionaries, is like, well, you're going to destroy the cultures. And ashamedly, that has happened in the past, where colonialists have gone into places in Africa and said, you will be a Methodist now, you will be an Episcopalian now, you will be a Baptist now, you will be an Anglican now, you will be a Catholic now, and you will dress like us, and you will act like us, and you will sing like us. And guess what? Some people did it. It wasn't what it should be. But colonial powers pulled out of Africa, and there's been an explosion of Christianity. Tens of thousands of people, again and again, becoming Christian. Largest churches in the world in Nigeria and other places. And guess what? They're doing it. Dressing like Nigerians, singing like Nigerians, praying like Nigerians. It didn't destroy their culture, it fulfilled it. It didn't corrupt it, it completed it. That's God's picture of tribes and languages and nations all coming to the throne, still being unique and yet united. And for this, to accomplish this, God calls us to actively coexist. He calls us to be just this: disciple-making witnesses of the one who can anchor our souls for all eternity to the God of the universe. Disciples of Christ, witnesses of Christ, so that more can find that hope, that anchor, that life. I pray that each one of us may actively coexist. I think there's one more slide, because I want to see that verse one more time. Let's say this together just once more. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much that you are working around the world and you are working in our lives. Help us to anchor our lives to the rock of the universe, that it is not just a vast, empty darkness, but there is a light penetrating in it that is you, the light of Christ in our lives. And may we actively be peacemakers who show your love to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.